most in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Spouting Off, Karen Cataline joining you for a Thursday. And boy, we're zooming right along into the month of February. How come we never pronounce that R? February is the way I say it. And if you're listening live at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's 603-816-1590. If you'd like to call in and weigh in, would you like to weigh in on the State of the Union? You can do that, or you can weigh in on the Sarah Huckabee Sanders response to the State of the Union. I loved it. I'd rather focus on that than anything else that Biden said, because frankly, I didn't think it was newsworthy. And we've seen again and again, he's become quite predictable. He reads the teleprompter, and it tells you just exactly what they're going to be focusing on, including accusing Republicans of putting Social Security in danger. They've been doing that for decades, decades and decades. They've been fear-mongering the elderly and people on Social Security to tell them that they're going to cut Social Security. And now is no different. Now it's, whoa, we have to safeguard Social Security from those mean old Republicans who are constantly wanting to cut it. Well, it doesn't matter that no Republican has said they want to do that. In fact, it doesn't even matter that no less than the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, said that cutting Social Security is off the table. Now, we could have a libertarian discussion about why this entitlement is sacrosanct, but let's not right now. Let's just talk about the left and the radicals and Biden's tendency, you know, I got to lump them all together because they march in lockstep as if they all think together. I'm not sure Biden thinks, but he does as he's told very, very well. He is an obedient soldier to the whomevers, and we don't know who the whomevers are. I do not know. Whoever is directing policy in this country, and it ain't Biden, they roll these things out well in advance. I don't think that... There no longer needs to be any comment from any Republican about anything to stop Democrats from fear-mongering about an issue for which they've already got legislation planned. I mean, the left is super great at fear-mongering about non-existent threats so they can address those threats and avoid existing ones they themselves created. They created the border crisis. They created inflation. They made child sex trafficking go off the scale and through the roof. They created a war, and we don't even need to talk about, we will if we get the chance, about whether or not it was America itself under Biden that blew up the pipeline, the Russian pipeline, but they already lied about it, so you're not allowed to ask about it. They already said, we didn't do it. Now, if you dare to question, if you dare to say, well, that's a lie, you are a threat to democracy. Because, of course, democracy requires that you do as you're told, think as you're told, speak as you're told, or you need to be threatened, censored, punished, and told how to think correctly in the ways of Stalin and Mao. That's what a threat of democracy, a threat to democracy looks like in the upside down, inside out kind of world that we are living in, or in the country that we're living in. When they are a threat to democracy by using government agencies to punish people for speaking, for thinking, for exercising their First Amendment rights, which we thought were enumerated in the Constitution, that's a threat to democracy. Okay? And that's what they're going to keep saying if you believe them. Well, just don't believe them, okay? Now, the Social Security is merely an example of the kind of thing the left does. Meanwhile, they're not going to address in an honest, direct, straightforward way that the Chinese spy balloon, which we will be talking about with our Thursday afternoon guest from the Epoch Times. It's so great to have that resource to talk with somebody from the Epoch Times about the issues of the day. We never know what they're going to be talking about, but by God, there's always something huge going on. So I was going to mention that there was, as you know, under when the Roe v. Wade was repealed by this current U.S. Supreme Court, yes, that's the word I wanted, the left, when they had all branches of government, of the federal government, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, they quickly acted to protect abortion rights from something under which there was no threat. What there was a limit based on states' rights. But the liberals and the left and the so-called progressives, they don't like limits on the federal government. So they wanted to act on a federal level to supposedly safeguard something that was never under threat. You mean to tell me that there are people in this country that can't cross a state line if their state doesn't have as liberal abortion laws as the state next door? You're darn right they can. And there are even people that were raising money to enable people to go have an abortion in an abortion-friendly state. What the left is saying is that a state does not have a right to either limit, control, or make law concerning abortion. Now, if you ask me, I'd like to see it out of the realm of the federal government and even the local government myself. I think persuasion is the best course and limited government is the best course. Nevertheless, it has been an issue that has been as controversial as any issue, including the death penalty, for decades. What I have seen, and I was never an extreme anti-abortion activist like some of my friends, what I do see is that the elevation of abortion, not only to healthcare, but to the idea that it is a constitutional right and surmounts any other right, including that of my body, my choice, but only to have an abortion. What it does when people are celebrating their abortion, elevating abortion to the only right people are entitled to if you're a leftist, is the continual diminishing and disrespect for life. That's what bothers me. Not just the life of babies, but the lives of all people. Now, we were talking about Social Security for a moment, and Biden's speech, he wants to safeguard. He's out in Florida right now, going on a speaking tour about safeguarding Social Security from the mean old Republicans. Of course, he's going to do it in Florida to try and scare senior citizens, of which there are gazillions in Florida. Meanwhile, he's not going to talk about the Democrat governors who sent COVID into nursing homes in a reckless disregard for life itself after they hindered and infringed on healthy people's rights. They infringed on the sick and the infirmed people's rights by sending a deadly virus that only attacked people with pre-existing conditions. Can you honestly say this is an ideology that respects the lives of anyone, let alone senior citizens? No, I don't think you can. Meanwhile, I was going to move on, and I only have a couple minutes to talk about Sarah Huckabee Sanders' speech, which we know was written before Joe Biden's speech, but isn't it interesting how relevant it was? This, I think, was her JFK New Frontier, New Generation speech. If you've ever listened to old JFK speeches when he was running for office, it's clear that she has presidential intentions, and so do a lot of other people, I believe, for her. Now, I have heard recently that people think that she's being pushed by the establishment Republicans to try and pull support away from Donald Trump. Well, they don't have to try very hard, because the left is trying to pull support away from Donald Trump in order to split the vote. And I think that the appeasers on the Republican side still fall for all of the left's propaganda. The person has to check all the boxes. Now, I like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I loved what she said about how this is really a fight not between left and right, but from normal and crazy. And Joe Biden is doubling down on crazy. If you haven't listened to that speech, I think it's worthwhile, because she also set the framework as to what we're up against. She mentioned that most Americans simply want to live in peace and freedom and to be left alone. But it's clear, and she alluded to this, they're never going to leave anyone alone, not radicals who love communism and have this phony, fraudulent notion of utopia with them in charge of everyone else. However, I must just say, if we do not, I covered this a bit on Tuesday, if we don't fix our election system and allow people to have faith and trust in the integrity of the elections, you could run Mother Teresa, Tom Brady, and Abraham Lincoln all rolled into one, and it wouldn't matter. And so we've got to do that. Let's not split the Republican Party too early or at all, and get clear about what it is we're fighting for. We're fighting for liberty. That does it for this little segment here of My Ability to Spout Off. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Share Healthcare. How can I
help? I missed the deadline.
What deadline?
The healthcare deadline. I'm locked out.
We don't have any deadlines at Share Healthcare. You can enroll with us at any time.
Oh, but can I afford it?
Share Healthcare programs start at $149 a month.
Less than $5 a day. Can I keep my doctor?
Absolutely. Pick your own doctor and hospital.
Amazing. How do I join?
Just visit sharehealthcare.com.
Sharehealthcare.com.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, just plugging away through the week. Well, I am delighted to welcome a not-so-old friend of mine from Colorado. His name is Ted Harvey, former state legislator in Colorado, who was elected in 2001. And, as a Republican, how about that? Representing the 43rd House District, he was elected in 2006 to the Colorado Senate. He is chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President, and he writes great pieces in Town Hall and elsewhere, and you can find him at StopJoe.com. Welcome, Ted Harvey, to Spouting Off.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. How is Colorado? Is it thawing out yet?
A little chilly today, but it's nicer than it was last week. It was down in the single digits for a week last week. So
yeah, they've had so much global warming there in Colorado.
Yes,
haven't they?
Yes. Yeah, I have 3 feet of snow in my front yard still.
Well, I'll tell you, Ted, you wrote a great piece here. Let me just pull it up for myself here in Town Hall. Where did it go? See, that's what happens to me. The minute I click on it, it is gone. There it is. You say Katie Porter, just the latest leftist hypocrite in Washington, D.C. Tell us about that before I think we'll have time also to talk about the State of the Union address. I bet you got a lot to say about that. Okay, so first this article, Ted Harvey and Katie Porter. Who's Katie Porter and why should we care?
Well, Katie Porter is a congresswoman from California who's running for the United States Senate now. And she was a professor at a university in California 4 years ago before she ran for Congress. And as part of her benefits at the university, they gave her subsidized housing in a housing community right near the campus, which is all fine and good to do that for your professors. But when she got elected to Congress, they continued to allow her to live in the subsidized housing and have subsidized her living for the last 4 years while she's been in Congress. And I believe that is a violation of campaign finances because that's a campaign contribution. And neither the university has declared that, nor has she declared that. And so my PAC filed an FEC complaint, and the FEC has taken that up, and they are doing a full investigation into that. And, that's a taxpayer expense that the taxpayers of California are footing the bill for her housing.
You, Ted, get a hold of these little tidbits of information, which you pounce on. I don't want you to give away any of your secrets, but how do you get some of this information that, wonder of wonders, the propaganda media refuses or ignores?
Well, it's not just the media. It's actual Republicans in the RNC and the Republican Congressional Committee and the Republican Senatorial Committee. She's running for Senate. Why is it our PAC that is always having to be the organization that's pushing the envelope and going after the Democrats and holding them accountable. Our stance is if nobody else is going to do it, we're going to do it. So we hire the attorneys and we do the investigations and we go after the Democrats and hold them accountable, because I guarantee it, if they find a single thing on Republicans, they're harassing and going after the Republicans as well. So we are the group that does that, to hold them accountable. And, you know, she is a radical leftist, and we don't want her to be in the United States Senate. So we're trying to take her out now before she gets there.
A former professor at a California college. Could that happen? Could she be a radical leftist? Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't know. And this is interesting. Leftists and Democrats and liberals always say that it's Republicans that are greedy and materialistic. And yet she's enjoying the largesse of a college and taking advantage of the taxpayer money. Wouldn't you say that's, I don't know, a little bit of a contradiction, maybe a hypocrisy of sorts? I don't know.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's what Democrats do. You know, they always say that Republicans are heartless and everything, and they don't want to take care of the poor. Well, I guarantee you, if you were to look at her financials, her tax returns, she probably doesn't give any money to charity or to help the poor, but she wants to tax you and me to take money out of our pockets to do it. And at the same time, you and I are already giving money to charity and to the poor. They are so hypocritical in the way they handle everything. But now in this situation, she wants the taxpayers to subsidize her housing while she flies back and forth.
I guess she's our charity now, right?
Yeah.
She's the new charity case.
Without a
Ted,
doubt.
Ted, you tempted me to turn my head, which I really want to talk about, because you mentioned, why is it? I wrote it down when you said it. Why don't Republicans fight back the way you do, and that there needs to be a pact to do it? I think most grassroots Republicans and conservatives are constantly asking that now. And we've seen some truly deep state, swamp-dwelling Republicans who have kind of exposed themselves. You know, if they hate, for example, just as one example, if they hate Trump so much that they're willing to support radical and actual communists to send this government, this country, into a place it's never been, which is a socialist government, kowtowing to the globalists, then they probably weren't Republicans at all. You were in elected office. What would you like to say about that? Because I think it's something a lot of people wonder about.
Sure. Well, it's here in Colorado, and I'm sure it's the same throughout the country, is that the majority of the Republican donors and political donors in general, the large money folks, they are not in politics to save America. They're not in politics to push a conservative free market, free people, free industry agenda. They are there to protect their business interests. And if that their business interests might mean that a Democrat get elected, so be it. But if we can get a Republican elected, so be it. And in the end, it's them being in power and the establishment that will continue to protect their interests being in power is first and foremost, most important to them, not America, not the Constitution, and not the free markets and our sovereign borders. So that's why you see them, they would much rather have a Democrat, moderate Democrat in power than see a conservative win any day of the week.
Are there any moderate Democrats left anymore with any power, though? I don't
think
there
are.
I mean, you
look at a lot of the governors around the country. I know here in Colorado that many of the typical Republican donors would much rather have Jared Polis win than have a conservative Republican win, because a conservative Republican is not going to keep the large assets going in their direction.
Jared Polis is not a moderate. I know he wants to characterize himself as such, but he's not. Let's talk a little bit about the State of the Union for somebody who runs an organization called StopJoe.org. I think you have a few things to say. .com. I'm sorry. .com. StopJoe.com. I think you have a few things to say about the State of the Union address.
Well, it was an interesting speech. It was typical of what this administration has been doing for the last 2 years, and that was to go before the American people and just try to gaslight them and tell them that everything that we know for a fact is happening really isn't happening. And whether it was saying that inflation is coming down or that 12 million people have entered the job market, or to say that he is doing everything he can to protect our borders. Literally, it was so offensive that he walked into the people's house that the Republicans that were there actually, you know, violated decorum and called him out on lie after lie after lie. And normally you wouldn't see that, but it was so bad that they couldn't even restrain themselves.
You know what, Ted? It's funny. I saw among the many spins from the lockstep left, from MSNBC to CNN and all the rest, they said, I just loved this. I thought it was great. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and they made it about her, but it wasn't really about her. They said, is civility gone in politics with these new Republicans who are speaking out in the middle of a State of the Union presidential address? What did you think about that?
Well, I agree that it is not, it's a violation of the decorum of the House. But when the President of the United States comes in front of them as a guest, and lies to them and lies to the American people, you can't just expect the representatives to sit there with their mouths shut and their hands, you know, sitting on their hands. Ronald Reagan would never do that. Bill Clinton would never do that. What happened that night was Joe Biden going up there, and literally every comment out of his mouth was lying to the American people and trying to gaslight them, and he got called out for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if we're in a whole new time in which the Democrats do things that hinder our rights, that shred the Constitution, and then blame Republicans for it, to say nothing of the fact that Democrats have no decorum, but they're always screaming about decorum when they're on the receiving end of it. So right. I think it's a small thing to pay from a party that celebrates the beheading of a president on a magazine and thinks right. that's just okay,
right.
including censoring a president, a duly elected president. So the rules don't apply to them.
The United States Senator and his wife as they're leaving the White House when President Trump had his inauguration. They have crowds and crowds and crowds of people that all over the country that are attacking conservatives and on college campuses and attacking conservatives wherever they're speaking, going into restaurants and harassing them, and you have Congressman Waters encouraging that and supporting that. You have the current vice president, when she was United States Senator, bailing them out of jail when they did that. It's okay when they do it to Republicans, but when Republicans right. speak back against the president of the United States right. when he's in their house and lying to them, that's just bad form.
I think that strategy and that tactic, or my friend John Zemirak, whom I love, he talks about anarcho-tyranny.
Yep.
Anarchy for us, tyranny for you. He's a brilliant commentator. And I think all of that of having it be as brazen and blatant as it is, that they can go as far as framing their political opponents and using alphabet agencies to punish them, but yet anything illegal that they do is perfectly fine. I think that's the message. We're in control now, and there are no rules for us, only you. I think that's for our benefit. And before I get too far off the track, we got a couple of minutes.
No, just look at what the FBI and the CIA and the NSA have done to work with the social media companies to ensure that nobody on the right has a voice.
People.
That is completely a violation of the First Amendment.
It's the very heart and spirit of pretty much everything this country stands for.
That's right.
Open, free and open debate. It cannot be underestimated. In our last minute and a half, what encourages you? What gives you hope? You are often more optimistic sometimes than I am. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, if you watched the hearings yesterday in the U.S. House when they were grilling the leadership of Twitter and questioning how our government was allowed to participate behind the scenes in not only interfering in our First Amendment rights, but also interfering in the 2020 election, I'm heartened that they might actually start holding somebody accountable for that illegal behavior. And if we actually see something happen, that will be the first time in yours and my lifetime that the left has ever been held accountable. So I'm hopeful that they're serious about this. And I never would have thought the Speaker McCarthy would actually be serious about doing legitimate investigations and oversight over the FBI and the CIA, and it looks like that's what they're going to be doing.
Well, it took 20 principled Republican grassrootsers, including Lauren Boebert, the much-hated Lauren Boebert, to hold the Republican House accountable and make them do something rather than just sit there and collect a paycheck at the taxpayer's expense. StopJoe.com, not org, com. StopJoe.com. Thank you so much, Ted Harvey, for joining
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Karen.
As
Appreciate
always.
It. God bless. Take care.
You too. You too. That's Ted Harvey. He does great work. We've got a reporter from the Epoch Times right after this. Don't go away. You're listening to Spouting Off anywhere and everywhere. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm delighted to welcome our next guest. And I thank our producer, Juan, for this great idea of having a reporter every Thursday afternoon, the final segment from the Epoch Times to enlighten us. The Epoch Times has been courageous. As you know, they are one of our sponsors. We run their commercials, and we are glad to do it. They do great reporting. And here from the Epoch Times is Nan Su. Welcome, Nan, to the program. We're so glad to have you.
Oh, hey, thank you, Karen, for having me today.
Well, it is great to have you. And that is, sometimes the Chinese pronunciation is backwards, right? So is your first
yes.
name is Nan, right? Did I get
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And my last name is Su, and you can call me Nan. Your pronunciation is correct in Chinese. My name is Nan, but after I came to the United States, everybody called me Nan, so I finally convinced Nan must be better.
Yes, well, it's fine. Either way, it's great. I figured it wasn't Nan as in Nancy. But that being said, I'm glad you're with us. And let's just dive right in. We had a Chinese spy balloon wafting over American airspace. Our government did nothing about it. The Chinese said it was a weather balloon that went off course, and then they had to backtrack on that because apparently that's not what it was. And it took days for our government to shoot it down. What can you tell us on the inside of things? Because there's so much we do not understand that is not getting reported by anybody but the Epoch Times.
Well, see, based on Pentagon, you know, it's a spy balloon. Basically, they are trying to collecting intelligence from United States, and Pentagon officials also said China has a whole fleet of spy balloons flying all over the world, collecting information, and the operation center is actually they hunted down the operation center of this spy balloon fleet is in Hainan province. Hainan is it's an island that's between mainland China and Taiwan, so it's in that area. So they have operation center, military operation center in that province that operates. Because you know the balloon, it's got its own power, and it could be remotely controlled to change direction, it's able to send back to the information to the operation center with a radio wave. So that's what's happening.
And it's kind of like a drone, only different, right? It's a lot higher, is it not, than a drone?
Yes, it flies at like a 60,000 feet. I believe, actually, I just put in a commentary article out today. I believe, the balloon incident is just a part of the Chinese government has a plan and has actually conducted a series of activities ever since December. All these activities are planned to really, they are aiming it's serving as a warning to Blinken's China visit. You know, Tony Blinken supposed to visit China, visit Beijing, like on February the 5th, but because the balloon incident, he canceled his trip to Beijing. Now, but however, preparing, you know, Blinken's coming, so they have conducted a long series of events that's really all serving the purpose of giving Blinken a warning that if Blinken wanted kind of like a temporary peace deal with Beijing to secure the peace at Taiwan Strait, then Blinken need to pay the U.S. government need to pay a very high price to get the deal.
I'm having a hard time understanding. First of all, most people think Blinken, just like our president, is not exactly, shall we say, tough on the CCP the way that Donald Trump was tough on the CCP. That being said, how would flying a balloon, which, by the way, we saw that weather balloon that went off course, then there was another one in Latin America that was spotted as well. How could that act as a warning to Blinken ahead of this
meeting?
Well,
it's not the balloon itself. It's the balloon that's flying in the U.S. sky.
I get it.
Right?
Yeah, what's the message?
Well, the message is it's to test the strength. That's what they're trying to do. They try to test the strength of U.S. government, and they try to challenge him. Now balloon is just one of the last event. Actually, they have a lot of events going on ever since December. Now, keeping in mind, Blinken's visit to Beijing was set up during the G20 summit in Indonesia in November of last year, when Biden met China's Chairman Xi. So they had the focus of the meeting was about the peace at Taiwan Strait and security of Taiwan. And then after the meeting, because after their conversation, they kind of have some sort of agreement. Then Blinken is supposed to visit Beijing to cement every details. That's what his visit is supposed to be. Now, ever since December, Chinese communist regime has conducted a long series of events. Now, from December 16th, China's aircraft carrier Liaoning and led two destroyers that sailed through Miyako Strait and went to the east side of Japan. So they conducted a naval military drill in the area that's within 150 miles from Okinawa. U.S. military has a military base in Okinawa, and also within 500 miles from Guam. So that's one event. On December 25th, that's Christmas Day, China conducted the largest military air offense drill over Taiwan Strait. You know, they have a total 73 airplanes joined the drill, and 43 of them crossed the midline of Taiwan Strait. And midline Taiwan Strait is a de facto border line between China and Taiwan. And then December 21st, based on the Indo-Pacific U.S. military command report, that there's a U.S. reconnaissance plane that's flying above South China Sea, and there's a Chinese military jet, a fighter jet, you know, directly approaching U.S. reconnaissance plane, and the closest distance at one point between the two planes was like about 20 feet, less than 6 meters. So the U.S. plane need to alter its flight direction in order to avoid a crash. So they keep they keep doing that on January 30th.
Let me, if you don't mind, I just want you to comment. Forgive me. I hate having to interrupt you. I really do. But I've got you, and there is another article. I mean, I think everybody needs to go and read your stuff at Epoch Times. Look up Nan Su, S-U. But there's another article.
Yeah, look at, my professional pen name is Nathan, so Nathan Su.
Nathan Su, even better, Nathan Su. But with our about 5 minutes left, most people here, again, we don't know what's going on in China, and of course they don't make it easy for us. They only put out information that, you know, they want us to know. But apparently the death toll in China is rising. I mean, just at the time when China said we don't want one COVID incident, the death toll has risen sixfold. And smoke, this is terrible. Smoke is billowing out of crematoriums in China. Can you speak to, is this what the CCP wants? Is this just an issue with locking people down and thus lowering their immunity? What's going on there in as brief a way as you can tell us?
Well, this is another story. Actually, we have talked about this for a long time. Our Chinese communist regime stopped its zero COVID policy on December the 8th. Okay, and then they changed its policy towards COVID pandemic, towards a zero non-COVID policy. You know, they changed it from zero COVID to zero non-COVID. Now, zero non-COVID means they want everybody to become infected.
Ah.
You know, because the only the reason...
First zero and then everyone. What's the purpose
That's right.
of that?
Well, because after 3 years of zero COVID policy, 3 years of lockdown, that really crashed China's economy. They have a huge economic issue right now. It's just not sustainable. And so therefore, they want to change it. And then when they change it, they just say, you know, they want everybody infected. So they try to push to have everybody infected. So that's, you know, that's happening ever since December 10th. Right now, based on the document we got, they say they already have the whole nation, 80% of people infected. But however, their total death number really, really low. Now, if you go to China's CDC website, they reported in the last all 3 years of pandemic time, total pandemic death number was like only less than 87,500. Now, and the reason for that, there are three reasons. Number one, their definition by the COVID of the COVID caused death is totally different than everyone else. The death number that's being documented is that if this patient really infected by the COVID, and also he died from respiratory failure, your lung failure caused by the COVID, then this person is going to consider die because of COVID. But if you have any other pre-existing conditions, such as lung disease, liver disease, or you have any other problems, then if this patient died, it's not going to be counted as
not unlike what they did in America. They overcounted deaths from COVID, and they undercounted deaths from possibly the supposed cure from the COVID, which is the
American
jab.
Way, it's the standard way, because everywhere else and all using the same way. World Health Organization used that way. And then second reason for China, they have such a low death number is they only count the people who die because of COVID in hospital. If you are living in a senior center, or you live out in your home, these people die, they didn't count them.
Yeah.
They don't count them. And on number three, most important, and this is not that, you know, it gets better. Number three, the most important one is I personally know many of my friends working in China in health industry. Now, here's what happened in the hospitals. Many hospitals, when the people...
Hurry, because we only have less than a minute, and we want to hear the rest of this.
Okay, if a patient die, then the doctor in hospital will be given a document, will have many, many boxes for the doctor to check for the cause of the death, right? Now, on that document, there's no COVID death listed. The doctor cannot even check it. So, administrative staff of the hospital to really manipulate whatever the number they want to report for the death number caused by the COVID.
We have to leave it there. I'm so sorry, but you know what? I can't wait to have you on again soon. Nathan Hsu, The Epoch Times. Great reporting. That does it for this edition of Spouting Off. Tune in tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern for our last event of the week. Be well. We'll be back.